This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Looks like I might have another gig for you. Maybe I can send you to Baton Rouge and you can help out LSU in teaching them how to run block.
I'm all in. That I can do. That I know. I don't know much, but I do know that.
Mark, man, they've had troubles all year long moving people off the line of scrimmage, and I think we got caught maybe a little bit with a mirage of last year because Jaden Daniels made them look good on improvisational plays that he would just take off and run. And he gained 1,100 yards rushing last year. So I think maybe the premise was, man, this offensive line's pretty good. Mark, they ain't moved nobody off the line of scrimmage this year. No one. It's a finesse team. Yeah. They can pass protect, but, man, run block, they ain't moving no one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always say that that's a true skill position. The greatest skill in football is moving a man from point A to point B against his will. And that's all technique. I mean, that's all creating leverage. And people think, it's always funny because I talk to people, and I've been coached my whole life, you know, and you get coaches and say, hey, man, you got to stay lower. And I'm like, hey, no, you know, no kidding. You know, I'm getting impaled. I get that I got to stay lower. Like, what's the technique? What is, like, what creates leverage? How do you do that? And, you know, you start talking about foot over ankle over knee over hip, you know, power position, power producing positions and things of that nature. And I geek out about stuff like that. So, yeah, I spent a lifetime working on that, perfecting those things. And those things have to be worked on. They have to be coached. They have to be – the other thing, they have to be executed, right? You've got to have a coach that's willing to call it, that's willing to stick with it, that can't get offended by a two-yard run, has to understand the value of a two-yard run as long as you're finishing people. And, you know, I'll sit there and say, you know, it's amazing to me coordinators in any league, whether it's college football or professional football. You know, they'll run it three times for 2 yards of carry. They'll throw their hands up in the air and go, man, we just can't run it. But they'll throw 7 incompletions in a row with a crappy quarterback and not even think twice about it.
And that's so true. You know, that's absolutely true.
It always just blows me away. It's more a philosophical issue with most coaching staffs than it is anything else. And so it's one of those things that you have to believe in it and you have to be married to it and you have to have that philosophy. And if you don't, you'll never be good at it.
Mark, this past Sunday, we saw what two guys can do when they're healthy in the lineup. One, Eric McCoy, coming back for the Saints at center. And the Saints ran the football really good Sunday against the Browns, who have had some difficulties all year stopping the run. But his presence there made a big difference. And then, you know, I've seen a lot of games in that Superdome, college, pro. I think that one for Taysom Hill as a runner, receiver, passer, kickoff return man, play on special teams, it goes on Mount Rushmore for me of players in a game that has done that in the Superdome. It's unreal to watch, and I've done this for almost 40 years. There is not one guy I can compare him to in that 40-year time frame.
You know, what's interesting about that guy, too, he's 34 years old, right?
Right.
And the Saints have this, just kind of, and I'm not going to do a great job of explaining it, but in their strength and conditioning program, they have a you know, a scale, and it's very scientific, and you scale from like 1 to 10 or whatever in a bunch of different categories. And, you know, in explosiveness and strength and, all these different things. You have speed, strength, explosive, And, like, he ranks as the top athlete, like, on the team in all these different categories, where he's the only guy that's, like, a 8 or 9 plus in every category that they measure, every measurable category. The guy is an absolute freak show, and he's 34 years old. He's like, you don't even think about him as 34. Like, dude's in his prime, and he can run, and he just does everything, you know, and it was really interesting to me because it was back when Tim Tebow played for the Broncos, and you know, and he got released from the Broncos, then he got released from the Jets, and you know, he had opportunities to go out and play this kind of, you know, this kind of hybrid position like Taysom does, and it was, he chose to go to baseball, and I was talking to Sean Payton about it, and he goes, oh, don't even compare the two as athletes, because Taysom Hill is a freak show athlete. And so really fun to watch that guy have success, really fun to watch him. He's just one of the most unique players in all of football. And I don't think people really understand, not only athleticism wise, but just intelligence. He plays 7 positions on offense. I mean, he's an absolute freak show. And I love studying for Saints games. I love calling Saints games. And every time I do, I'm just like, I hope he's a huge part of the game plan because I love watching this freak show.
And Eric McCoy, too, returning back to the lineup at center. I know we've talked about it before. I'm a big center guy. I think that is a key position for every team. You look at Detroit, Frank Ragnow, and what he does for the Lions up front. Creed Humphrey for the Kansas City Chiefs, and how he's one of the real stable guys. Trey Smith's a good player, too. But, man, yeah, if you don't have that guy, you in trouble. If you don't have a good center, you got some issues.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one place that no quarterback wants pressure is right up the middle.
Right.
And then, historically in this league, you know, I mean, you got to play center. You got to snap the ball. You got to either snap it under center or you got to shotgun it, right? And so you're playing one-handed for a minute. You know, for a second as you're snapping that ball. And so historically, usually the worst pass protector across the line of scrimmage is your center. Why do you think all the A-gap walk-up stuff happened in this league?
Yep.
A-gap walk-up stuff from linebackers and everything else, or the bear front or the Navajo front or whatever you want to call it, right? The jam front where center, guard, center are covered. You know why they started doing that? Is to take advantage of the center who is historically the worst pass protector on the group. So if I can get my center in a one-on-one situation with a pass rusher, we're going to win, and we're going to pressure the quarterback immediately. And so that's where teams take advantage. Teams constantly take advantage of centers in this league. That's what they do. Well, every team does it. Like, every team looks at that and goes, wow, here's an opportunity. Well, when you get a guy like McCoy back, you're like, oh, shoot, that's no longer a weak link. Like, that's not something we can do. So it changes, you know, it changes the way you approach it as a defender. It changes the way that you attack protections. And when you can't attack the center and you can't create, you know, quick pressure between, you know, up front between center guard, you know, that's the best place to pressure a quarterback if you can get that. Because outside, the further you get away, you know, the further you get away from the quarterback, the longer it takes, the more time that quarterback has to throw. And then the other thing is when you pressure up the middle, even if you don't get the quarterback, as that quarterback hitches up, you take away the first read, the progression, suddenly, you know, you got a 6'5" offensive lineman getting shoved by a 6'5" defensive lineman in the lap of the quarterback who's trying to throw it. It just, you know, that math doesn't make sense.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Charlie?
Mark, you know, it feels like I'm always asking you about these nightmare scenarios with some of these teams week to week, and I'm going to do another one because it feels like the Jets are just staring at another long, extended rebuild. They just fired Joe Douglas this morning. I want to get your thoughts on that first and foremost. You know, his tenure from there as the GM from 2019 through 2024. And I've listened to some Jets folks that cover this team, obviously a lot more closer than I do, explain it to me. And I think it makes sense, right? Like, he starts off with Sam Darnold. He's not really able to build a team around Sam Darnold. It doesn't really work out. He gets the number two overall pick and takes Zach Wilson. That doesn't really work out. He gets another shot with Aaron Rodgers, and now they're sitting at 3-8 in the 2024 season. So it's just been kind of a nightmare for, I think, a lot of Jets fans, where they enter the year with such high expectations. They fire Robert Saleh, I think, what was it, back in week three or four? It was forever ago at this point. Now they're moving on from their GM. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old. If he's going to come back for another year, who even knows at this point? It's just a very messy, messy situation in New York.
It is. I mean, it's ugly. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, you know, people have talked about the fact that he hasn't really been making decisions over there for the last, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks. And he put his foot down about Hassan Reddick and not getting him signed, and that got signed, and then overpaid, you know, for Davante Adams, as a lot of people have talked about. So it looks like he truly hasn't been making decisions there for quite some time. That place is a train wreck. That place is an absolute mess. And, you know, when you turn over, it's so funny because Aaron Rodgers, you know, I've heard him on, you know, different, I guess, the McAfee show or whatever, saying things like, well, it's amazing how much power people think I have. You know, I don't have any power here. Like, give me a break. Like, every retired, you know, former Green Bay Packer who can't play anymore is on your roster. What do you mean you don't have any power? There's nobody in their right mind that would have signed any of those guys had they not given you all the power to get that done. So, you know, ultimately, nobody's been able to put their foot down. Aaron Rodgers, that, like, you might as well get rid of him. I mean, the fact, maybe you have to bring in another guy just to actually clean house and say, hey, Aaron, you're no longer welcome here. You good luck finding a place to play, because based upon the way you played this year, based upon the dysfunction of this organization, I don't know anybody that would hire him at this particular juncture. But yeah, you know, that you're going to have to remake that whole franchise. And it's unfortunate because Robert Saleh, I think, is a good coach and a good man. And he had his defense in top five in every significant category. And then they fired him and their defense went to crap on top of their offense being garbage. So the whole organization's dysfunctional. It's a shame. And, you know, I really thought they had a chance. I really thought they had a chance to be great. And, you know, and it just is, you know, it's from the inside out. Because I don't think it was talent. I think they had enough talent to win. I just think it was, culture. And that's a shame because that's something that, you know, I always point to the powers that be, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the GMs. And the owner, like all those things all have to be right for your culture to exist correctly.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark, Coach Payton did the Saints a favor, and they gave him a solid beating Atlanta. And good gracious, and watching that game, it was a beatdown. And it's not like the Broncos are loaded with talent at running back and wide receiver and tight end. And, man, I see little Jordan Humphrey yep. that couldn't make this team, and he's making plays for him. But in watching what Bo Nix is doing, a lot of that same stuff Drew Brees was doing here. A lot of that wide receiver screen, short stuff, kind of signaled out where you're going to go with the football, simplifying it for Bo, and he's come through. Now, it wasn't his fault they lost to the Chiefs, but how well he played against Atlanta, who got no pass rush on him at all, and, man, the Falcons, they were flat as a pancake against the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos are, you know, defensively, they're a really good football team, and then what Bo Nix is doing right now, what that offense is doing right now, pretty incredible. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, it's funny. The Broncos put out a tweet where it's funny. They hung the NFC South banner. The Broncos have crushed the Carolina Panthers. They crushed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They crushed the Saints. They crushed the Atlanta Falcons. So they're the NFC South champions. So they're hanging the NFC South banner up there at Dove Valley over there with the Broncos. So really, I don't know if you guys have seen that tweet.
I saw it.
Yeah. So it just made me laugh. But all the little screen stuff, and I tell you, it's so amazing watching Bo and the progress that he has made. His footwork, just like his feet underneath him, even though he moves so exceptionally well in the pocket, his feet staying square underneath him, delivering balls, all kinds of different arm platforms, overhead, sidearm, whatever, deadly accurate, doing all that stuff. And then it's not only those screens, but it's also the deeper in-cutting routes, you know, the digs off the dagger concepts, the low crosses, the shallow crosses, the deep overs. He's throwing all those. It just reminds me of all the stuff when I used to watch the Saints and Drew Brees when Sean Payton was coaching there, that dagger concept where you're running the inside receiver down the football field trying to lift the safety and the outside receiver's coming in on an 18-yard in-cutting route and Drew Brees just drilling that 6-7 times a game. And you're like, man, they just eat in the middle of football field. And the Broncos were doing that with Bo Nix. He made one of the great throws I've ever seen over the top of a linebacker in front of a safety that was bearing down, you know, in front of the deep safety, but also just inside of a safety bearing down, trying to play robber and take it. And it was one of the great throws of the weekend. And it's fun to watch. And, you know, having a relationship with Sean and listening to talk about Bo Nix and being on the phone with him and talking about Bo Nix when he went and got him, you know, he was so confident that Bo Nix could be that guy, so confident in his intelligence, so confident in his accuracy, his ability to escape pressure, not taking sacks, not fumbling the ball, all the different things that we talked about and all those things coming to fruition. Sean's got to be riding high because everybody loves it when they're right. And he was, so far looks like he was right about this one.
The other thing, too, is Adam Trautman. He couldn't catch a cold here in New Orleans. And, man, he don't drop nothing now with the Broncos.
I was going to say, Mike.
That's unbelievable.
You move on from Jerry Jeudy in the offseason. Cortland Sutton's been great for them.
Yeah, that's
another one of the most under-the-radar receivers in the NFL, I think, Mark. And, I mean, if I were to tell you, like, top 15 in receiving yards in the NFL this year and leading them team receiving yards by a wide margin, he's stepped up big time this year. He's been awesome. And, Mark, right before we let you run, yeah, I want to ask you real quick about the Cowboys because Mike and I talked about this in the first segment. After watching what happened on Monday Night Football, they're still trying to tackle Joe Mixon in the Texans rushing attack. It feels like it's simple to kind of recap what's gone wrong this season. Mike always says it, you know, it's just truth at this point. If you can't stop the run and you can't run the football, you're going to have middling success, and the Cowboys can't do either.
Yeah, well, there's no question. And they didn't address any of the issues. You know, it's It's like they buried their head in the sand and was like, there's nothing to see here. We're fine, right? We don't need defensive lineman rotation. We don't need a top-flight offensive line. We don't need a running back that can run the ball and be a power back. Like, all the things that we talk about, like, yeah, you build a team. Look at what Jim Harbaugh did.
Yep.
Like, everybody criticized Jim Harbaugh. Like, hey, they got rid of their receivers and they don't have weapons. And Jim Harbaugh, you know, everybody thought, oh, they're going to take Malik Nabers. And the first guy off the board for them was Joe Alt, the offensive tackle. And they asked Jim Harbaugh about it. And he goes, are you kidding me? That is an offensive weapon. Tip of the spear, offensive line. You build a team from the inside out and front to back. Bar none. Like, we have gotten so enamored building fantasy football teams. Like, Chicago this year was like, oh, my God, Chicago, Caleb Williams, he's a generational talent. And they've got Rome with Doomsday they drafted. And they got DJ Moore. And they went out and got Keenan Allen. They got Cole Kmet. They went out and got Swift. I mean, this team is going to go to the playoffs. This team could win the NFC North. And I'm like, dude, they don't block anybody. Like, they don't, like, how are they going to win anything? They don't block anybody. And sure enough, they've been, you know, especially here the last few weeks, they've been an absolute disaster. Well, like, that's what happens. People think that we're playing fantasy football. You control the line of scrimmage on both lines of scrimmage. Show me a team that controls the line of scrimmage. I'll show you a team that wins pretty much almost every Sunday. It's just the way it works. So, you know, I always laugh about the fact that we think, as football fans, and even some football staffs, we think we're playing fantasy football. I always say this, guys. Listen, man, if the games were played on paper, I'd have spent a lot less time on the operating table. They're not.
That's true. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, man. Always great insights, and we appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, man. Take care.
All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.